Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I'm one of your hosts here, as always, Kirk Smith, and here my co-host,
Graham K. Hello everybody, hope you're good. This is the comedian's guide to autism. I have an autistic brother who's a couple years younger than me. He is sort of high-functioning, and Kirk, you have an autistic son, right?
That's true. My son is 19, and he is severely autistic, or on the severe end of the autism spectrum, depending on how you prefer your nomenclature, and I love him very much. He's doing good. Long-time listeners will know from last week, or last week's Week in Review, is he ate the drywall. He tore up the drywall and ate it. So when you say, what kind of autism does your son have?
That kind.
He's recovering from eating the drywall, which and a little bit of insulation, which, as you probably know, is not good for you. So
he ate asbestos? Is that what you told me?
Well, it's not asbestos because it's Sweden. They've outlawed asbestos. But yeah, it's I believe it's some sort of fiberglass. So it's not good.
And he's got a mouth problem now?
Yeah, he's got a little
infection.
It cut his mouth because you're not supposed to eat fiberglass because it's glass.
Yes, fiberglass is glass. It's little bits of glass.
So,
wow, yeah.
And he had an allergic reaction to it again because you're not supposed to eat it.
Yeah. Do you think that he learned from it?
I think so. He's a He learns things the Smith way, as I call it, or the hard way. So don't think he'll be doing
you
that again.
You can call it the Smith way.
What's that?
You can call it the Smith way.
Yeah, that's what we call it in my family. So we were all a little bit what we would call don't tell me what to do is what my mom used to call it. So all us boys were very independent. Mm-hmm. So I have to learn things the hard way sometimes.
Yeah, well, so, you know, it's good to know that the genetic code held over on your end there. That's good.
You know what I like about this podcast? Sorry, I kind of cut you off. It's a bit of a delay. Sorry about that. Is I had three notes of people this week that said, listen, I'm sorry that your son did that, but that's the reason I listen to this podcast, because I feel like my son's the only one who does these sort of things. So it's good to know I'm not alone. We literally had three notes.
Yeah, I get that. Totally. If it makes you feel any better, audience, my brother has killed all of his fish. it barely lasted a week.
We did really get those
not
notes.
All. There's one.
We did really get those notes.
There's
like,
one left.
Listen, this is why I listen to this podcast, because I'm not the only person going through these crazy sort of things. That's what the lady said. Yeah, it was funny. So,
and it's kind of 100% why we do this podcast.
Exactly.
We understand. We understand our role. We're not that funny. I get it.
Speaking of which, you had some fans come out to see you.
Well, I did have some fans come out to see me. But before we get on to that, let's go on. There's some exciting news on your son. Let's stick on your son for a second. He is taken to Googling and doing research on computers, which I find fascinating.
Yeah, we don't know what's happening because he doesn't really talk and doesn't really sign. He signs a little bit and talks a little bit, but he opens a lot of tabs on his computer. As longtime listeners know, he has a tough book now that's indestructible that he's managed to tear up the keyboard. I will post a picture of that today on my Instagram.
Did?
He did.
Oh, man.
So it's on my Instagram, Kirk Smith Comedy. You can check out my son's work on this indestructible keyboard that he started to destroy. But I got the insurance, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good. But what I was going to say was he opens up different tabs on his browser. And so he's taken to opening up a browser tab every day and researching different computers. So I'm not sure what exactly he's looking for, but he definitely Googles computers and then looks at them. So I'm calling that research.
He's like, well, I've got to find a new computer with a full keyboard. He's probably like,
if only I could type.
It sucks. It's got no keyboard.
If only I could type keyboard, if I remembered where all the keys were. It's going to catch 22, this little stinker. But yeah, he's taken to typing stuff out and typing out. He wants to look up his computer. Oh, that's another little thing I guess I should mention. He's taken to writing it in Swedish. So he's learning a little bit of Swedish, which is I forget the word for computer in Swedish. I think it's dator or dot. I'm saying it wrong, but it's like how do I say it? Dator. Yeah,
doesn't matter.
D A T O R.
You should ask him. Ask him how to say it. So I didn't even know that he could write. I guess he can write because he's researching computers. But I mean, this is pretty fascinating.
Yeah, he can write his he can type in like VeggieTales. He'll type in VEGG, and then like it'll autofill. But he'll type in VeggieTales or Barney. He'll usually type the first four or five letters. So that's where he's at.
That's pretty good, though, man. He wasn't doing that when we first started this podcast.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all.
He certainly wasn't bilingual.
No, bilingual. He was not bilingual. That was funny.
But imagine, I mean, think about it. I mean, we always talk about how, like, you know, you know, is this the end? Is this as far as you're going to progress? What's in the future for your son? And 2 years ago, if you said that, you know, he could figure out how to FaceTime every day and that he could write some basic things on the computer, that he was doing research for computers on his own.
That's true.
He was pretty happy.
That's true. That's a good point. So
that's pretty awesome.
That is pretty,
you know, and it is great. That's huge progression. And he learned a few words in Swedish.
He's doing it.
You can't even say computer.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's awesome. But yeah, so I was just in Chicago, and we had a few fans come out, and I only remember to take pictures with one of them, but Cassidy K came out and with her, I think her husband, and got a picture with you, so that's cool. And it was awesome. It's good always to see fans. I had about at least one per show, which is good. Sometimes more, which is good.
That's great. You were telling me that you had a friend come out to see your first show. And then she hung up second show.
Yeah, so for Cassidy's show, so I've been doing cleaner stuff all week. I had a friend come up to me. I had a friend come to the earlier show, and then she stayed for the second show. And so I wanted to do different material, not have her watch the same material. And so I did completely new stuff. And
all you had left?
All the material I had left over was dirty. So I just did like the filthiest stuff that I had. I was just talking about private parts a lot.
Oh,
and,
boy. That's so funny.
And then that's when I had some people came up from Autastic and were like, we've been fans the whole time, you know? And
he was our 5-year-old autistic kid.
we've been fans since the very beginning of Autastic. And I'm like, well, since, you've probably never heard me swear before, but thanks for coming to this show where all I did was swear.
Oh, that's funny.
But that's fine. So that's sort of my nothing too much of note for Peter with my brother with Weekly Review. He's just trucking along. I'm going to see him in a month. I'm flying home, and that's going to be really good to see him.
Yeah, I was
doing well. I think he's back up to two. He says he's not drinking during the week. Remember that was a thing.
Yeah, I remember.
And he's just on the weekends. So he negotiated Friday is a weekend, Saturday is a weekend, and Sunday is a weekend. So, you know, at least there's 4 days less drinking. But he said he's up to 240 pounds, you know, which is not good. Usually he's in the 230s.
Yeah.
So he's gaining weight or something. I don't know what's going on. Got to figure it out. I don't think he eats particularly well.
I think it's time to get him that smartphone. I was listening to last week's episode and I edited it and I was like, I think that's a good idea. I was thinking about that. I think that could, I think you might like it.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do that when I go home. That's a good idea.
You know, you could send
my parents through it because they don't understand.
Little voice. Maybe it's time for your mom to have a smartphone too.
No, they have smartphones.
I'm just teasing.
They just don't use
them like
smartphones.
Yeah, I'm just being silly.
They just use it like a flip. They use their iPhones like landlines. We use all the functionality of a landline.
You have a string. It's attached to the wall with a string, and you're like, you don't want to go more than 10 feet from the kitchen.
They attach their own string so they feel normal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a really curly string that gets tangled. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. I think we had a lot of people curious about Peter, so they're excited to hear from him. So that's great. I'm happy he's doing great. Well, should we do in the news?
It is great. I mean, let's do in the news. This is an interesting one coming out of Chicago, coincidentally, where I just was. By the way, Chicago, you guys all treat your bodies horribly. and
so you loved it.
I loved it. I was there for 5 days. I had 4 deep dish pizzas.
Larges.
In 5 days. And my day off, I had what they call an Italian beef sandwich, which is dipped like a French dip almost.
You're trying to kill yourself.
So, you know, each day I went after it. And if I lived there year round, I would look like a boiled ham. So,
do you want
to be back? I ate a salad yesterday, which was fun.
Welcome back.
Yeah, but anyway, so let's go into the news. Also, in Chicago, coming out of Chicago, from the Chicago Sun Times, I believe, some exciting research out of there. Do you want to?
Do you want to set this? Do you want to read this one, or you want me to? You found this one this week. You want to read it? Or do you want me to read it?
Well, I'm over the phone, so why don't you read it? Because you've got all the fancy sound equipment.
Oh, yeah.
And also, I know we got a couple comments this week that, Cassidy actually said the nice woman who came with her husband to see the show, the Dirty Show, said that she only listens to the podcast basically to hear you mispronounce names. So. Let's keep that going.
Cassidy, just know that you're not alone, Cassidy. That's, I think, the majority of our subscribership is people hoping that I butcher somebody's name. Okay, this is in the Chicago Sun-Times.
Everyone basically is listening to hear about your family struggles and listen to you screw up names. So.
Are they laughing with me or at me? Mostly at me.
At.
All right. Researchers looked at Chicago families to help trace the roots of autism. This is in the Sun-Times by Sandra Guy. Oh, I got that name right. 3 letters. Hard to butcher that one. Here we go. Chicago researchers are spearheading efforts to find the complex biological underpinnings of autism, a brain disorder that affects 1 in 68 American children. The work, aimed at developing drugs and other targeted personalized treatments, is underway at the same time as the World Autism Month, April, boosts awareness of the challenges faced by people on the spectrum. All right, now let's jump ahead a little bit here. Genetic testing for autism in infants could help start treatments much earlier, making them more effective. Penzez? Okay. P said he believes it's possible within 10 years. I'm staying on brand, Graham.
I feel like that was on purpose. You put a little extra English on that one.
I think, for sure. Nobody's this dumb. I'm just playing it up for the part. All right, let's try this guy's name again. Peter Penzez. P-E-N-Z-E-S. Penzez. Okay, Peter Penzez is a psychiatry and behavior science professor who heads the Center for Autism and Neurodevelopment at Northwestern University's School of Medicine. Talked about, by knowing more about the brain biology connected with genetics of each child with autism, we hope to develop a treatment that works specifically with each child. A lot of the drugs being used now don't cure the disease. They just treat symptoms like aggression and sleep problems. They're used by trial and error. I know that's our case in my case, my son, we were hesitant to use any drugs, but as he's gotten older and some of the behavior issues surrounding, I wouldn't call it violence, but maybe it is violence, extreme physicality, where he's just big. And before he lost the weight recently, he's like 240. Well, when you hire somebody, they're not usually signing up for being hit. So my son, he's on a very, very low dose of, it's an antidepressant, but it's prescribed for people with autism, especially in Sweden, for behavioral issues. And the doctor, I went and met the doctor and he was like, yeah, I've prescribed, I think he said 5,000 cases of this and we haven't had any real issues with it. So anyway, I got off the topic, but yeah, a lot of drugs are used for behavioral issues, not as a quote unquote cure.
Right.
Okay. So here we go.
I think my brother is on something very similar actually.
Okay. Yeah.
It's been helping.
Antidepressant.
Yeah. It's definitely been helping.
Honestly, in hindsight, we should have done this probably a few years ago. Maybe three. I live and learn.
You wouldn't have been sure.
Yeah.
If you hadn't taken the time,
Live and learn. Okay, so here we go. Gene mutations responsible for autism can only be uncovered if large enough numbers of families affected by autism submit saliva samples for testing. Now, guys, remember, we had an episode about 30 episodes ago, or a little bit more. It was over the summer, actually. It was in July, about submitting your saliva to the Cornell study. So you can go back and listen to that. I believe it's episode, if I had to guess, right around 99, I believe. It was in mid-July. Anyway, back to the regular article. That's because, so as it turns out, Chicagoans will play a large role in collecting the data to map out autism's genetic base. That's because Rush University Medical Center is partnering with a privately funded New York-based Simmons Foundation to sign up families to do genetic testing. The initiative, called Simmons Foundation Powering Autism Research for Knowledge, or SPARK, aims to recruit 50,000 people with autism and their biological family members to get tested. The goal is to figure out the root cause of autism to inform future research. So it goes on to gives you an online registration form, sparkautism.org/rush, where you can get a saliva kit in a prepaid box. And they're analyzing over 100 genomes and with 40 research institutions in 9 countries. This is the one. Do you remember this from over the summer? We talked about this, Graham.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think this is important. You kept
calling it spit.
Yes, Dr. Lord. Yeah, her name was Dr. Lord, and we kept calling it spit, and she kept saying it's saliva, but tomato. If you have a chance, I feel like this is important. Yeah, to contribute. Episode 102 is the episode, and it came out August 23rd. If you want to go back and listen to that episode, yeah, it's episode 102, and it was August 3rd. Is that episode?
Pretty good guess. Pretty good guess. You said 99. I'm very impressed.
Not bad.
99. You said sometime in July. It was in August. I mean, this, you got a real steel trap over there. That's all you got. But other than that, pretty good.
The article goes on. It talks about specific cases. Of people, it's a very heartwarming article. It highlights a young man who, his name is Austin, but he declared one day that he no longer wanted to be called Austin. He now wants to be called Austire.
Mm-hmm.
And has his little can you say quirks? Is there, you allowed to say quirks? Is that you allowed to say that?
You sure can.
Yeah, only likes to eat dry cereal, red peppers, and nuggets at McDonald's. He does have amazing memory and learning memorization skills, where he can master complex multiplication tables, name all 50 states and their capitals in every country in Africa at age 3. I'm not sure I could do that at age 44.
No. It's a lot.
Yeah, so I think it's a good article.
That's a good article. It's important that it's just another example of more hope coming on the pipeline. And it sounds like some major research, so that's good.
Yeah, it also talks about, towards the end, the shortage of pediatric neurologists and child adolescent psychologists, behavioral developmentalists. I do want to give a shout-out. We get a lot of listeners who are part of the community in a working capacity that are doctors and therapists, mm-hmm. and we appreciate that. And if you think that you'd be interested in pursuing that path and that's why you're listening to this, I'd say consider it. I got to figure it's a very rewarding, very challenging, but very rewarding field.
Mm-hmm. And growing, unfortunately.
Yeah. And
or fortunately that it's growing, but unfortunate that it needs to grow.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Up to one in 68 kids now. Yeah. Are autistic.
Autism Speaks quotes 1 in 54. Yeah, I've heard all sorts of things, but it's more than all the childhood cancers put together. So yeah, there's definitely a need.
Yeah.
One of my comedian friends.
Go ahead.
Sorry about that. I cut you off. I was going to say, one of my comedian friends says, you got a kid with autism, you know, after you do a set, you have some good jokes about it. He's like, oh, you got a kid with autism? That's a comedy gold mine.
Yeah, lucky. What a dumb thing to say.
So if you're an occupational therapist, what a gold mine. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, people are always like, why don't you talk more about your brother? I'm like, I don't want people laughing at my brother.
It's a delicate thing. It's a delicate thing, yeah. You got to write stuff that people get, but it's also sensitive, and you're not making fun of them, and you're touching on his humanity. Yeah, it's a tough thing.
Yeah, it's hard to make fun of yourself, but have, you know, without it, but like make fun of yourself, you know, the comedian, me, Graham, under the premise of having a brother with autism without somehow looping him into being a butt of the joke.
The punchline,
or something like that.
Yeah. That's the complication.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and I don't know. It's a comedy gold mine. Good. Great.
Yeah, it's so much easier than writing fart jokes. Sure. Mm-hmm. What we're getting at is it's a hard thing to write jokes about that are good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, let's move on to another in the news. We got two in the news today.
Nice.
Very exciting. Yes.
You get to hear the music twice.
Next one. This next one is sports related. Reggie Jackson, former Major League Baseball player, former All-Star,
superstar.
I believe. Superstar. Started a baseball a foundation that teaches children with disabilities how to play sports with, you know, the same goal as a lot of the other sort of acting and improv game therapy, inclusionary games and programs that we've talked about in the past, just basically teaching teamwork and stuff like that. And one of his players in his foundation has just signed with the Kansas City Royals to their minor league system, which is huge. He's the first ever known, I'm sure in the past there's been a few, but the first ever known player with autism, and he was this kid. He's only 17. Was diagnosed with autism at the age of 3. So he's 17, just got signed, which is
amazing.
You know, baseball starts young, but that's still pretty awesome.
That's
a professional
amazing
player at 17.
Yeah.
Do you want to read the article?
Yeah, this is in the Kansas City.
Can't wait for you to screw up Reggie Jackson's name.
Well, Reggie Sanders. I thought you said Reggie Jackson. Reggie Sanders. Reggie Jackson was a.
Is it Reggie Sanders?
It's Reggie Sanders. Yeah.
Oh man, I screwed up his name. Oh my God. Pot calling the kettle black. But you know, Reggie Jackson is also a famous baseball player from the same era. So
he is a legitimate superstar. I meant this guy's like a superstar. Like what he's doing is amazing. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Reggie Sanders. I was going to let the first one slide, and then I'm like, oh, fine. How Reggie Sanders influenced Royals to sign a player with autism. Former Royals player Reggie Sanders recently stood on a baseball field near his home in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and marveled. A group of small children, all aged 5 to 10, had gathered there to work with Reggie Sanders Foundation, which he founded in 2012 to empower individuals with autism. They spent their time on the diamond that day playing and often repeating one phrase, "I want to be like Tariq one day." And Sanders, who's in his second year as a special advisor for baseball operations in the Royals front office, could hardly come to grips with it. Tariq El-Abour, I'm close, I don't know, a 25-year-old outfielder from San Marino, California, was diagnosed with autism at the age of 3 and was already making a difference in the autism community, which Sanders spent most of his adult life helping. The Royals announced Friday that they'd signed El-Abour to a minor league contract. He's believed to be the first player with autism to sign with a major league club. "We're doing something that provides an opportunity for people to see what it looks like for inclusion, number one, and creates that awareness, but also in sustainability." I think that should say is, anyway. "In sustainability," said Sanders, who ended his 27-year major league career in 2007 after 2 seasons with the Royals. "For me, that really tugs at my heart." He spoke at the dais in the interview room at Kauffman Stadium on Friday afternoon, and Sanders' voice began to quiver. He hadn't meant for it to. But as he spoke about El-Abour, he became overwhelmed and needed to pause and needed to think. He had a hard time believing, even 2 months after the Royals had put signing into El-Abour into motion, that this far-fetched idea had become a reality. Basically talks about his life and transferring from Concordia to Pasadena City College and the journey. You know, sports journeys are similar to like stand-up, where it's like a long road and it's...
I think he's 25. I said he was 17 earlier, but he's 25. But, you know, still, that's amazing that he kept with it. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really, really amazing. Really amazing. And he talks about in the independent league, he won the league's Rookie of the Year 2016, where he hit 323 in 122
wow,
plate appearances.
Wow, 323 is amazing.
Yeah, it's great. It's really great. But, yeah, it talks about inclusion. I think this is the beginning. You know, like a lot of trailblazers, Tariq might not end up being a superstar, but it opens doors and it's a trailblazer for other people to come after him.
Absolutely.
Sanders.
These kids. What, Reggie, good job, Reggie.
Yeah. "Tariq doesn't realize what he's doing," said Sanders, "but the beautiful thing is that it's so raw for him and that he's focusing just on baseball and he doesn't realize that he's really helping the community, which is amazing." What a great article.
And he's making money.
That's true. He's a contributing member of society. Yeah, he's a taxpayer.
He's paying taxes.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
So this is, and I should also give out credit to a few people sent me this. Lisa Jackson sent it first to the Autastic Podcast, old Facebook. Yeah, guys, you can add us on Facebook if you have a second, and follow us on Instagram. I'm at Kirk Smith Comedy, and Graham, what are you at? Tell us yours this week.
It was Lisa, right? Lisa was her name?
Lisa
gave us that article?
Lisa J, yes.
Good job. I think you said her last name the first time, but that's okay.
Did I say
it? Lisa, you're the best. Yeah, who cares? Lisa, you're the best. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. And guys, if you have any cool articles you want to send us or any suggestions for topics, feel free to email us at autasticpodcast@gmail.com. You can also send us messages on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. I am at Instagram K on Instagram, and I'm also at Mr. Graham K on Twitter, and my name is on Facebook. If you want to just, you know, search that, put that in the old search bar, you know, you can shout at me, say mean things or nice things, and, you know, I prefer those. Well, we can talk about Kirk behind his back, which
That could be fun.
But anyway, you guys are fantastic. Thank you so much for listening. As always, we appreciate any donations. Sign up to patreon.com, patreon.com/autastic. You can donate as little as $1 per episode. That's a cup of Joe a week, folks, or $5 to our premium listeners. Yeah, so we are going to be reposting older episodes that you can no longer find on iTunes and other streaming services. And so, yeah, you can get the original ones from back in the day when we were just two little babies trying to figure it out.
Still butchering people's names and still changing our Instagram accounts off and on.
Oh, yeah. Y'all, disregard disregard whatever Instagram, whatever horrible Instagram name I'm spouting out in the earlier episode. But yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening, guys.
Guys, I do want to say real quick, I am in Victoria this weekend in Vancouver. And next week, I am in Pechanga, Southern California, 5 shows. Graham, tell us what you got going on shows-wise real quick.
Oh, you know what? You know what? I just realized that you... I don't think I've told you this. Next week, I'm going to be in Los Angeles, California.
Nice. I didn't think I knew that.
No, I didn't tell you. I forgot to tell you. We were so busy. but yeah, I'm going to be there. We can record in person, just like the old days. I'll be at the Comedy Store on Monday. Just coming in town for some meetings. It's going to be fun. I'm going to see my pal Kirk when he's back from Topanga Canyon, wherever that is. And it's going to be awesome.
Guys, have a great week. You can do it.
Thank you.